Hi, Tom Donahue. Just giving you a heads up, cautionary note, that this was taped many months ago, and I have been remiss in not doing the edits and posting this as a podcast and stream. But nevertheless, part of it had to do with my reluctance or reticence as it related to the Capitol riots and chaos that ensued. And I wanted to reflect upon that, and I just wanted to take a step back. Here are my thoughts in that time frame, a few months after the event. My thoughts and my research has not changed all that much. I am going to expand upon, further insights and some slightly different interpretations. But nevertheless, in whole, this does accurately portray and reflect my thoughts on what happened. And I'm also going to talk about its aftermath and not only the media's play, left and right, but just the American public's sentiments and reactions and where we go forward, and also the role that Donald Trump played, he has and has not done or said, as it related to those folks, and many of them loyalist, that thought at the time they were doing the right thing and got caught up in the fervor. It's just like being at a stadium full, whether it's rock concert, a political event, or a sporting event. So we'll dissect this further. But in the meantime, I'm sorry for the extended delay, but it's finally posted, and let me know what you think.
Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports. Been a while since we have connected, we've communicated, and In large part, the reason was after witnessing the Capitol chaos and rioting, I was, as many, astonished, shocked, disappointed, confused, feeling really disconnected. As I viewed that in abject horror, I had to pause from commenting. I needed to step back. I needed to reassess what I wanted to say, how I wanted to handle this, how I wanted to move forward. And I also wanted to do research, and I wanted to contemplate. I wanted to pray about it. I'm feeling like I want to, as the expression goes, get back in the game. And I do want to communicate meaningful and in a more routine or regular basis. That's what I plan to do. I'm going to say something, and I thought I was going to hold off on this, but I can't. And that is, number one, Trump invited those people to the Capitol. Trump spoke to that crowd. And even though his wording was a bit couched, it was a little bit protective of himself. The essence of it was the driver. Let's put it this way. They would have never come to the Capitol in those numbers, or probably maybe not at all on that given day, if Trump didn't designate that day and invite them, inspire as well as incite them. The crowd was very worked up, and he said he was going to march up the hill with them. And again, I'm paraphrasing. Well, Trump has never been known to be a courageous man. I think he's a coward. If you really wanted these people to protest in a very strong way. Now, again, I don't think it was Trump's intention, directed intention, for those people to riot or to have any attempts at an overthrow. But does he bear some responsibility for A, the invitation, B, whipping up the crowd and having people like Alex Jones and Roger Stone and various others, Giuliani, all stirring the pot? Of course he does. I just don't understand a man that's in his 70s acting like a 7-year-old most of the time. I don't relate to narcissists. I don't relate to egotists. I don't relate to the self-absorbed. And it's got to all be all about them. Trump's done a lot of great things as president. And he could have done even greater things if he could have just been a little more mature, a little more savvy, a little more strategic, he just lacks those qualities, sadly. He has personality disorders, which, and again, all these things I've talked about before, but I'm going to say something that is quite revealing, and for some of you, it could be very shocking. Trump did not win the election, in my view. And I really have studied this. Was there rampant voter fraud? Absolutely. You know, were there voting irregularities? Were there issues that really should have been heard by a court? Yes. Look at Trump versus Hillary. Trump barely beat Hillary in Pennsylvania. And I talked about this before. Biden's ties to Pennsylvania is not just Scranton, Pennsylvania, his birthplace, but his familiarity and his strong ties to Philadelphia and Pennsylvania at large are enormous, unlike Hillary. So Hillary barely lost. Trump barely won. So I knew all along Trump was not going to repeat and win Pennsylvania. Now, were there things on the cameras and were there things that been reported? And, you know, I just think that the hatred for Trump was so off the charts, so intense, so aggravated that these people were out of their minds. They were going to do anything and everything to ensure absolutely that Trump would not be reelected. And that meant, especially in the city of Philadelphia, I do believe that there was a tremendous amount of voter fraud. And I do believe that the election laws and, you know, extending the goalposts, meaning, you know, voting for a month and voting all different easy and very questionable ways to be able to monitor, to be able to tabulate and to verify. It was a complete total mess. And then you look at Biden's ties to labor, Biden's ties to the blue collar. And again, I know that some of it is warped perception, but there's a lot of folks that they related it to what they thought that persona or that image of Biden was. Now, I think it Arizona and Georgia are highly questionable as to whether Trump lost those. I think maybe he did not. I think that it was a razor thin, very close election. Trump put himself in deep peril by all the bonehead mistakes he made in that final year. And I went over some of those, and we can go back in time and delve deeper if you want. But it is my belief, based on the research I've done, that even when you calculate, if you were able to, all the voter fraud, and you threw out all those ballots, unless of course you feel, and again, there were Republicans that didn't want to change this in Pennsylvania, because of them changing the way one can vote. You know, when you have Secretary of State that's supposed to be the one and the legislature, and then you've got commissioners and you've got other people that are not duly elected to make these decisions and these changes, the district attorneys and attorney generals and, you know, whatnot, county commissioners, then on the basis of that, everything could be thrown out. But again, when you think of states' rights and these states decided that they were going to stick with the election as it was, I mean, how do you change that? And so I really do feel that you look at some of these other states that Trump barely beat Hillary, and there was a mass exodus from Trump in the suburbs, especially with white women, and they just could not deal with the constant conflict and chaos, and they were willing to settle for Biden because they just felt like their lives would calm down. Regardless of taxes, regardless of regulation, regardless of things being radically liberal. And they became more so because Biden had no alibi to be moderate when Republicans lost, or maybe was stolen the Senate seats. And so he now had to be proactive for, you know, the Bernie and the, you know, the squad and the radical extremist left. So he had no other options because he couldn't say, oh, I can't get that through, because now he has a good chance of getting it through with Democrat control of both houses. So continuing on with this train of thought, I don't believe Trump actually won the election, but I'm so happy to see that so many Republican governors, Republican legislatures are putting a tremendous amount of effort, you know, earnest effort, noble efforts to tighten and to scrutinize and to revise any of these voter loopholes and voter leniency and lapses and possibilities of future fraud. So I commend the Republicans for doing this. But when you go back to the Capitol chaos and the riots and, you know, Trump pushing that everything was stolen and that, you know, he bears no responsibility for the fact that, number one, you know, just doing rallies is not the best way to reach out and touch people. And again, being less strategic, less sensible, acting your age would have helped a lot. Now, Operation Warp Speed, and, you know, I mean, there are some pluses as it relates to how he mobilized private industry and the medical community and reduced a lot of the medical red tape and bureaucracy and made some great efforts. Now, I don't plan to take the vaccine, but those that, you know, feel that, you know, they need to take that or want to take, you know, I don't have any problem if people feel that, that they trust that. And I don't care if it's Trump, Biden, a Bush, a Clinton, or, you know, somebody else. I don't take flu shots, and I'm not going to take a vaccine. I don't feel it's necessary because I take care of my own health. I have a strong immune system, and I don't have medical complications that would, you know, in any way, you know, require me to do so. That would be to my benefit. I believe it would be to my detriment. Now, it really hurt when Trump caught COVID, and they were having... One day Trump would be kind of favoring masks. Other days he would be questioning masks. There's a lot of inconsistencies. There were really, the protocols were really kind of confusing as to what the White House was doing. And then they had these gatherings, a tremendous number of those at the White House gatherings. I think right around the holidays, but and some other political events. And then, of course, Trump caught it. Was actually sicker than most people realized, and he required, you know, extensive medical treatment. And thankfully he got that. And just some of these images, you know, that were seared in people's brains. And then sometimes when, you know, and Trump would take these interviews and say things that made it sound almost cavalier. It's the messaging. It's consistency in messaging. It's having confidence in your strategy and the messaging. It's just very disappointing because not that Trump had any original ideas, that Trump actually borrowed from people like Michael Savage, you know, reaching back in time, even myself, Chuck Carter, Ross Perot, of course, Pat Buchanan, which never gets credit, unfortunately, and even Ron Paul, you know. So it's a shame that, you know, we were able to provide him really the agenda and the platform. In some ways, he did a great job. In other ways, he let us down. But I'm going to make another shocking announcement, you know, at least I think for many of you. I'll try to explain. But because of Trump's careless and cavalier way of approaching things, and always, you know, his formula is conflict and chaos, which was, you know, really, I think, came to fruition with the Capitol chaos and the riots. And there's going to be a lot of things come out of this. I mean, many of those people that are being prosecuted, they're saying that they truly believe that Trump directed them to do this. And I can see why they might think that. Because a lot of people, you know, that's what political, you know, fervor is. And people, you know, even sporting events, you know, when you get a crowd there and you get them worked up, people act out sometimes. They don't even sometimes realize what they're doing. And then, of course, you had forces that, you know, are so embedded in the conspiracy theories and wanting to have a revolution that they really kind of felt like Trump gave them the green light marching up to the Capitol. So regardless of how, what percentage of culpability or blame that we could place at Trump's doorstep, it's not really that important. It's just that he did play a role, a pivotal role. Because if Trump didn't invite them, if Trump didn't inspire and incite them, they wouldn't be doing that. It wouldn't have happened. And so I have to say that just looking at the 4 years of Trump, and again, we'll get in, there's enough conservative radio that is covering all the Biden gaffes and all the Biden, you know, lies and all, and, you know, the blunders. So I will get to some of them. It's like, why would I want to have to repeat every little problem and mistake and issue that we have with Biden when you can hear it 24/7 on talk radio? I have to say that when we come to the primaries in 2024, leading up to 2024, I'm going to be shopping elsewhere, meaning in the primaries, I will not vote for Trump. If, let's just say, and there's a lot of different ways this could play out, but let's just say somehow, some way, Trump enters the primaries and he succeeds. And let's say he wins. Well, if you're left with basically, I mean, you could have some other fringe candidates, you know, third party candidates that at best can garner 1 or 2%. But if there's no viable pathway for another candidate and it's Trump versus probably Harris, but let's just say Biden hangs in there and through test tube medicine or whatever, they're able to keep him semi-alert and semi-functioning, then it could be Biden. So then if I'm left with that option, then I will vote for Trump. But if I have a choice of DeSantis or Kristi Noem or Mike Pompeo or maybe some others that we're just not, you know, quite hearing about yet, I think we need someone that has the Trumpian principles, which is really the America First principles that Trump borrowed from us, but without Trump directly being the candidate. So you can have the good things that Trump brought to the table, that he represented, without the conflict, the chaos. If Trump is involved in this 2024 election cycle as a candidate, not as someone that could be holding rallies, maybe even contributing and maybe anointing his successor, you know, it's fine. But if he's the candidate, I don't believe he can win. And if you think the hatred for Trump was strong before, and now that they've had Biden and Harris in office, you don't think that they're going to do everything they can times 10, even with the Republicans putting into place in some of the states so far, the election integrity laws. You don't think they're still going to be in Philadelphia and Chicago and, you know, various other places that, you know, are controlled by the radicalized BLM, Antifa left, that it's still going to happen? It will. But if it's not Trump and it's someone else that, yeah, they're Republican, yeah, they're conservative, but they're not going to be as in an abject, full bore hatred way. Pose them, they're going to say things that, you know, maybe you're not so nice or kind, but the hatred that is still there for Trump, it's not going to go away. It'll intensify. And then, of course, you have all the baggage of, you know, whether you think there was any significance to double impeachments, but that'll all be brought up. The media, because every day had to remind them that they were the enemy of the American people and that they were fake news, fake news, fake news. It's a way of being certain with the media. It's a way of, you could essentially state your case, but you don't have to keep saying that term every single day and having these silly squabbles. But anyway, the other part that was really extremely disappointing was this legal team that he had. I mean, why didn't he mobilize, you know, the federal agencies to oversee this election? Why weren't there more, like, you know, monitors and safeguards? Nothing was done. Then he starts to lose and he cries foul, and then he puts together Giuliani and, you know, Kraken and, you know, all these, like, I mean, they're crackpots. You know, they just came up with bizarre theories. And then you got the pillow guy who's out of his mind, you know, and you have these people that they're not brilliant legal minds. These aren't people that could have any credibility in front of a court. And even though Giuliani was a federal prosecutor, but that was probably when, you know, he was sane. He looks like an evil villain that's out of his, you know, completely deranged. These days. Now, I understand that a lot of it has to do with excessive drinking. You know, that's not something I can really comment on beyond that. I mean, people have accused him of being drunk in midday and slurring his words on radio shows and TV and news conferences and that kind of thing. So anyway, so Trump, his legal defense team was pathetic and completely unprepared and stated in most instances arguments that had no relevance. And it made it easy for these courts to just dismiss these cases because they just were just not prepared properly. And these things could have been contested in a much more professional way, much more on point, may have had standing and may have actually gotten some favorable rulings. Trump has to take the blame for some of this. There's no getting around that. You know, Trump has made, you know, some fatal errors and he's paid a price.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.